Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and a pleasant good morning. You know when you go blank when the radio starts, you hear the music? But today is Tuesday, November 14th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we interrogate the duty of care that our parliamentarians have for me, as the Bahamian people, and we, as the Bahamas. As in the whole. This is Guardian Radio AM, and I am your host. And of course, I asked Erin Green to stay back because she's going to be my reader today. You know those pastors who have a reader, and you say, read, and they read, and then I do the interpretation?
I come from Zedness.
Yeah.
It's a different type of
Describe.
Reader. Describe. Well, I was a reader.
He's a reader.
Yeah, you say read, but then I come from a different system.
A different
dispensation.
I just need you to read when I say read, and then I do the interpretation. Right? I don't know what they call that person in the church, but use the reader.
Okay.
Yeah. So you know your role, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When I say stop, you stop, because you know you say stick a pin in it. No, you can't be sticking a pin in it.
Okay.
You just read, right? So we're going to do some reading today. Something got my attention. And I thought it warrants some introspection, because I'm asking, what is the duty of care do parliamentarians have for us, to safeguard us, to protect us? Yesterday, on Erin Green's show, On the Clock, we discussed about NIGAD and his guilty verdict for molesting, raping women. And there was a case in Canada. And I was wondering, because the prosecutor mentioned the Bahamas and said that we had a number of Bahamian victims. And the prosecutor said that the victims went to the police and complained, but they got no proper investigation, according to the Canadian prosecutor. And I was saying that surely someone should have known what was happening on the quay. Surely there was a narrative that something sinister, something dark, something unbecoming is happening on that quay. Surely someone should have said, protect our women folk, our young girls, our children, them. And of course, there was silence. That means no one knew. Today, I'm going to actually discuss about the headlines. There were four or five headlines I saw, and I said, hey, I'm going to interrogate that. But one headline I want, Erin, you get ready to read, Erin?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? No, but inside the paper. You got to be on the page. One headline I wanted to read, wanted Erin to read, is a response from our prime minister. Right? And Erin's going to go into that. And the reason why I wanted to read, because I have a response, right? Go ahead, read that headline, get people
know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to read from the Nassau Guardian, today's Guardian, on the bottom fold. The article title is PM, NIGARD had friends on both sides of political divide. With disgraced fashion mogul Peter NIGARD being found guilty of multiple counts of sexual assault in a Canadian court, Prime Minister Philip Davis asserted that NIGARD had friends on both sides of the political divide, and suggestions that he was only close to the Progressive Liberal Party government are, quote unquote, bollocks.
Okay, I pause there. See where I go, stick a pin? I know I have pictures of senior Progressive Liberal Party members at NIGARD Quay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of any pictures of senior FNM? Because I want to spread it. I want to send it around and say, hey, see the FNMs here. Do you know of any pictures of senior FNM officials at NIGARD Quay?
No, not that I can call offhand. Like, I think so, but no, I can't tell you. I've seen a picture.
Yeah. So mind you, I deal in blogging. Mm-hmm. I get all kind of things in my inbox. I've never seen a picture yet. I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
I just never seen a picture. But I've seen scores of pictures, of PLP, parliamentarians, with NIGAD. But continue reading. I just want to see, where is my prime minister going with this?
All right. Continue from the article. PM, NIGAD had friends on both sides of political divide in today's Nassau Guardian. NIGAD, a former Canadian fashion executive who lived in Lyford Quay, was found guilty of 4 counts of sexual assault in a Canadian court. He was found not guilty on 1 count of sexual assault and 1 count of forcible confinement. The jury took 3 days to reach a verdict after the 6-week trial. NIGAD, 82, faces a maximum prison sentence of 10 years. The PLP faced backlash in 2013 when NIGAD's, quote, "Take Back the Bahamas," close quotes, video circulated widely. The video showed NIGAD frolicking with then, we're going to turn to page 5, with then PLP government ministers at NIGAD Quay. The video also showed NIGAD celebrating the PLP's 2012 general election win while watching Perry Christie's victory rally address. NIGAD proclaimed, "Yes, we got our country back." Davis told reporters yesterday he had, quote, "He had friends on all sides of the political divide as far as I'm aware. So to continue to paint the picture that he is friendly with the PLP government and not the FNM government is," and he uses that word again, "bollocks."
We are familiar with the PLP war room, right? We know that once they are under attack, they'll make sure to dig up and put out information. If you, knowing the how the machinery works, if the PLP had pictures of FNM officials at NIGAD Quay, and the Guardian used the word frolicking, that's a pretty word, you think they would have used it?
I'm not certain.
You don't think they would have used it?
I don't know what goes...
You don't think they would have used it and put it out?
Given the current political culture and what it appears to be acceptable discourse in politics, it's likely that they would have.
More likely, eh? So, if they didn't use it, what do you think?
Perhaps it doesn't exist.
We could continue.
Perhaps it doesn't exist. Okay. We continue from the article... PM, NIGAD had friends on both sides of political divide in today's Nassau Guardian. We are on page 5. Quote, this is from Davis, the Prime Minister. Quote, "I believe in the rule of law. He was tried and convicted. Any exploitation of young girls is dastardly to me and abhorrent. I have daughters. I have a wife and a mother, and I understand these issues. So for me, let justice prevail and let justice be done." Close quotes. End of article.
I have a wife, I have a mother, and I have daughters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I have another article I want you to read. Right? And again, the theme today is, what did they know and what did they do to protect us? I have an article from a way back, right? And I want Aaron Green to read it, juxtaposed to what we heard just now. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right, this is an article from the Nassau Tribune dated July 17th, 2013. July 17th, 2013, almost 10 and a half years ago. The article is entitled "FNM Ministers, quote, were warned," close quote, "to stay away from NIGAD."
What the hell was happening at NIGAD Quay that you were warned not to go there?
Strong language like that, sir.
I just saying what happened.
No, I just say, yeah. Strong language like that.
Especially when you're dealing with children. You got to be passionate or it get ignored, Aaron. Well, there's abused children here.
I take your point.
Yeah.
And I support it.
But go ahead, finish it.
FNM ministers were warned to stay away from NIGAD, July 17th, 2013, Nassau Tribune. Loretta Butler Turner, FNM deputy leader, yesterday insisted that ministers serving under the previous Ingram administration were, quote, warned, close quotes, to stay away from billionaire fashion designer Peter NIGAD.
Perhaps that's why no pictures exist. I'm just saying.
Perhaps. For that matter, Mrs. Butler Turner suggested that Mr. NIGAD misled the public after he told the media that both FNM and PLP MPs alike were constantly entertained by himself at NIGAD Quay.
Knowing the utterance of Night Guard in terms of putting out information, people marching in sheets and cloaks and whatever it is, right? If Mr. Night Guard had pictures of him with FNM MPs, you think he would have put it out there since people's making fun of him, saying, hey, you're involved with the PLP? You think he would have put out pictures of, see, it's two of them. What do you think? I'm just asking.
I don't know.
You think he would have just said, nah, I ain't going to talk about it?
I don't know what's in his mind. I don't know what's in that mind.
But if it's you, what you have done? If someone's criticizing, say, you only sided on one side, wouldn't you make sure to say, no, I have both sides, I'm a teacher? Especially when you have cameras all over the place.
It all depends on who the individuals were. But I will raise this point, right? Let's be fair. Let me be fair.
You're only reading today. You're only analyzing.
Okay, then. Never mind.
Okay. You read.
Yes, sir. I would you. Continue from the article, FNM ministers were warned to stay away from Night Guard, July 17, 2013, in the Nassau Tribune. I'm going to start right at the beginning again. Loretta Butler-Turner, FNM deputy leader, yesterday insisted that ministers serving under the previous Ingram administration were, quote, warned to stay away from billionaire fashion designer Peter Night Guard. For that matter, Mrs. Butler-Turner suggested that Mr. Night Guard misled the public after he told the media that both FNM and PLP MPs alike were constantly entertained by himself at Night Guard Key. He told reporters on Monday that he didn't know if there were any FNM ministers that didn't visit the Key over the years except former Prime Minister Hubert Ingram. That's a heavy...
It is heavy. The suggestion that only Ingram won has never visited. But go ahead.
Mr. Ingram has since assured this newspaper that he never wanted anything to do with Mr. Night Guard or the likes of him. Therefore, he never met him during his 15 years in office.
Mr. Night Guard is a foreign investor. He has invested heavily in the Bahamas. Surely, if he's a foreign investor, our prime minister should have a duty of care to go and visit him. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for investing in the Bahamas.
I mean, when you say go and visit him, the words that conjured in my mind were, hey, how are you doing with those compliance papers? Hey, how are you doing with ensuring that you're living up to the letter of the law in the Bahamas? Which is slightly different from, hey, how you doing? Have you had the Kong salad yet?
Yeah, but, okay, I hear you. Finish reading.
Because I'm only reading.
You're only reading today.
No analysis. I know that from the top down, Mrs. Butler-Turner said, sitting cabinet ministers have always been warned to stay away from him.
That's a damning situation. I mean, verbing.
Yeah.
The verbiage.
Yeah, because I bet you they use strong language like that on the Key. I just say it. Yeah. Quote, and from where I sit, and if I know Hubert Ingram the way I know him from, and with that perspective, let me just make sure I read that properly. Quote, and from where I sit, and if I know Hubert Ingram the way I know him, from and with that perspective, I can say that what Night Guard is saying is not true. The fact that he admits that Mr. Ingram never went should speak volumes.
Now, just using that as a basis of analogy and analysis, right? Mm-hmm. If we're talking about the Ingram era, mm-hmm. and he's a strong leader and he's fire on the spot, that mm-hmm. type of personality, right? If he proclaimed that he's not going there and he's saying that I don't want anyone under me go there, mm-hmm. is it safe to say that more than likely no one under his regime, I'm not saying other, when other leaders came about or that they did do it on their own, but surely under his regime, can we assume that no FNM MP minister went and visit because of the way how Ingram would have operated? Just history-wise. I'm not saying that it didn't happen. I'm just saying history.
What I would say to you is that I imagine that if it did occur, if a minister, cabinet, or an MP went there, that and they were not fired, it's because he didn't know.
Okay, let's go with
that. He was unaware of it. Right? So to get into an analysis, it's reckless to rely on.
I just couldn't really read the
articles. Yeah, no, and we do it. It's just a very loose analysis, right? But what I'm saying is that it's not impossible.
I'm not, that's what I said.
It's not impossible.
I said that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going by his characteristic. Would he have done?
Yeah, but if he said... By historical anecdotal assessment.
Yes, anecdotal, yeah.
If Mr. Ingram had given that warning and then became aware that one of his ministers, in fact, did attend an event, went to go pick up conch salad, that he would fire them. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is the same man when Alison Maynard Gibson went to him for advice on the matter. I think was it the Travolta matter.
Yeah.
Ingram told her, "You have a party leader. Go to him. Mm. Ask him what to do."
There you go.
I paraphrased that.
Yes.
Entirely.
Yes, and that's anecdotal. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Go so, finish read.
Yeah, this is the guy that fired Kenneth Russell.
On a piece of his toilet. Anyway, go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Yeah, finish read that.
There you go. We continue to read from the article, FNM ministers were warned to stay away from Nygaard, from the Nassau Tribune, July 17th, 2013. I think that many investors who have come to the Bahamas, this is a quote again, Loretta Butler Turner, I think that many investors who have come to the Bahamas have given donations to political parties. But this blatant demeanor that he controls this country is one that I have never seen in my life. He has gone beyond what is acceptable for guests in this country. Close quotes. When asked if she at any point had received a financial contribution from Mr. Nygaard, an emphatic no was her reply. Mrs. Butler Turner further urged Prime Minister Perry Christie and Mr. Nygaard to be more transparent over the stem cell issue, which has over the past few days sparked a heated national debate. The more they talk, the more they dig themselves into a hole. Mr. Christie says Nygaard approached him, but then Nygaard says he was approached by the Prime Minister. Which one is it? They need to get their story straight. They are saying two different things, she said. Mr. Christie is expected to shed light on the matter today when the House of Assembly reconvenes at 10 a.m.
I just found that interesting, and I said, we Bahamians aren't simple. We play simple. I play simple. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But when people talk in folly, I just get vexed. I just get vexed. And I just say something is uneasy with this whole narrative.
Right.
Right? And no, I just want to mention that. But yeah. But see, go ahead.
I know that I'm just a reader.
Yeah, because I want to know what you're doing.
I just want to draw our attention to this article in today's Tribune, SBF's Bahamas nonprofit in, quote, sham, close quote, denial, right? And I read this last week, I think Tuesday, where John Ray, the American CEO in charge of Wind and Down, the company, alleged...
All kind of aspersions against the Bahamas. I don't like him per se, but go ahead.
He alleged that a Mr. Rengans Yo was given a work permit to be a trader in Almeida Bahamas Research, Almeida Bahamas, one of their entities. Yeah. But John Ray alleges that the gentleman was actually running a sham organization whose purpose was to funnel money to quote-unquote life sciences organizations, right? And when I did some reading up on it, the NGO is called, I think, Latona, right? Latona something something group. Life sciences, right? Like, we, in the moment, don't see the need or disregard the need to follow the letter of the law, dot all the I's, cross all the T's. We just seem to be unserious about everything. And so here we are, fast forward 10 years later, right? And the allegations made by Loretta Butler Turner 10 years ago, right? These allegations aspersions raised, they require more serious consideration 10 years in the future.
And I see you trying to juxtapose the two points, and I appreciate it. My point, again, is duty of care that politicians should have for us.
Right, but this is, I'm saying,
I see it.
This is it here. Like, you didn't take your responsibility seriously back then, and now it can negatively impact a whole bunch of things that it may have nothing to do with.
Mm-hmm. And again, moving from that, because I want you to read something else. Did our professionals, our politicians, have a duty of care to be aware of what is happening at FTX? Right? I understand he's a foreign investor. I understand he come with billions and donating billions of dollars. But should, especially we have a regime where we need to protect our reputation, did we do enough to protect Bahamian citizens and to protect the name of the Bahamas? I have another article I want you to read, right?
I'm glad you asked me to answer that question.
No, I might ask that in the future. Headline for the day. I'm not going to do much commentary about this, right?
Yeah.
But I need it to be read in the records regarding what we're speaking about, duty of care. Read the headline there for me.
Tribune or Guardian?
I like Guardian. We work at Guardian.
All right, there you go.
I mean, I work partner with. Go ahead.
The Guardian top fold headline, government to end Water and Sewerage Corporation contract, WSC contract. The Water and Sewerage Corp, you want me to read the article too?
Yeah, man.
The Water and Sewerage Corporation contract awarded to the daughter of the corporation's executive chairman, Sylvanus Petty, will be canceled, Prime Minister Philip Davis indicated yesterday. The Nassau Guardian later learned that a definitive decision has been made to end the contract. During the first day of testimony in the corruption trial of Long Island MP Adrian Gibson last week, it was revealed that Petty's daughter has a contract valued at $26,000. Asked about this yesterday, Davis pointed to a matter from 2017 when it was revealed that his brother had been awarded a contract by the Bahamas Electricity Corporation Board while he, Davis, served as minister responsible. Quote, everybody would have known when the FNM tried to sully me up by indicating that I would have given my brother a contract, something I did not know about. And they knew that, they knew what I did when I discovered it. And I expected that to have happened in this instance with Petty's daughter. We are looking at the circumstances and stay tuned. Responding to a reporter's question, Davis said, quote, we are looking at the matter. We are going to look at the circumstances and the right thing will be done, close quotes. Petty, who was the first witness to take the stand during the trial, said the contract never came before the board for approval because of its low value. Petty testified that he doesn't discourage the awarding of contracts to people who are friends or relatives of the board because, quote, everybody is family, close quotes. He also told the court that he doesn't frown upon nepotism. Following his testimony, Free National Movement Chairman Dr. Dwayne Sands called for Petty's resignation. But Davis said yesterday, quote, they the last person who can pass any moral judgment on conduct impropriety.
I used to do that too at work. Anytime I get in problems and I get catch, I say, but what about that person? But don't worry, no, that's just saying. Go ahead, sorry. Go ahead.
And I read so well, sir.
Go ahead. I'm just saying.
They don't have any moral authority to speak to those matters. The Prime Minister spoke with reporters after viewing the body of former Minister of Health, Dr. Perry Gomez, in the foyer of the House of Assembly.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Now, this case with Gibson is before the courts, right? So I'm kind of uneasy talking about it. But I'm not going to talk about the case.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about contracts in general, loosely, right? Because I don't even want to go in and delve in it in case we get any emails and things, right? Contracts. When you sign a contract with the government, is that binding? I don't know. So if you decide to cancel my contract and I do nothing wrong, can I seek some kind of compensation?
It's not a matter of whether you quote unquote did.
Just cancel it.
Anything.
Just cancel my contract and I go with it.
Wrong. It's not a matter of malfeasance. A situation has arisen, right? Like in law, they say a law can be discriminatory in nature or in effect, right? Like you didn't do anything wrong.
Uh-huh.
The circumstances have arisen that require this now to stop.
But do I deserve compensation, especially if I made investment, especially if I got it untoward, decently, right?
Hold on, there's two different things.
Untoward,
indecently.
And indecently.
And indecently.
No, not indecently.
You got it decently?
Decently, yeah.
But what's the first word you use?
Untoward.
You can't have the two of them in the same. It can't be untoward and decently. It has to be either untoward.
Not untoward. And that's why I said not untoward. Like, okay. Oh, I hear it. Not untoward.
Okay, I got you.
And decently.
Right, so you got it in a legitimate manner.
Yes, legitimate manner.
If the contract is canceled, there will be terms attached to the contract.
So they may...
determine how...
Does terms come inside contracts?
Yeah, that's all contracts are.
So let me say this word because you heard it wrongly. So if I got it not untoward and decently.
In decent manner, which is not proper language for
right?
the
yes,
scenario.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
That means I should get, hey, why are you canceling my contract? I do nothing. You say I didn't know about it. Now let's change the scenario. Let's say all that happened, right? And me being a minister, knowing that something like this happened before, and they canceled the person contract. The prime mm-hmm. minister said that when it happened to me, my brother, you know, I canceled that contract because I know what the F them can say, right? Even though it was done decently.
Because it's the honorable thing to do.
Yes. So we know that all of the PLP MPs, ministers, chairman, went to classes.
Yeah.
They use that as a guideline to, hey, if this happens, right, if you find out that your cousin got a contract, bring it to me and we'll make a determination on whether it's legitimate or not, even if you earn it. But the moment you find out, to make sure that those other
right.
people...
The moment you become aware that there's a potential issue, you must act. That's one of the tenets of the Westminster system.
The chairman was not aware that his daughter got the contract because it was low bidding, small money, right? Petty money. You catch that? Petty money. Small money, right? But he, since he's testifying and mentioning it, clearly became aware at a particular point in time. I don't know if he became aware the day before or months or years. Well, I don't know when she get a contract, right? But when he becomes aware... Does he have a duty of care to the Bahamian people, to Bahamians, to the political party, to the government, to the prime minister, say, hey, did she get this contract on her own? Right? I have nothing to do with this. But I'm just making sure you're aware because you know I still the chairman.
That's what I would expect. I mean, that's what I would expect of honorable men and women in a system that demands honor, transparency and accountability. That's what I would expect. But the more important point is that once you become aware that there's a potential breach, so you don't have to say, oh, well, I was not aware that the law was broken. We're not concerned with whether the law was broken or whether you knew the law was broken. The question is that when you became aware that there's a potential issue, did you act to draw light to it and to request a resolution? Take it out of my hands, right? And these are what conflicts, mechanisms to manage conflicts of interest can do, and they should do.
Aaron, they have an entire school to make sure these things does not happen.
Yeah, but I realized that there were three words that were not endorsed by the Ministry of Education to be taught in that school, and they were nepotism, disclosures, and declarations. They didn't have authorization to teach them because, you know, like local government showed us, if you don't have authorization to come fix up the park for the people, no park for the people.
On a, not pivoting, right?
Because Please pivot.
No, I'm not pivoting because I want to ask you a question. Is it illegal for a sitting government official, like to award a contract to a family member? Is that a crime? Or is it bad report to cause for people resignation? Let's say it was a $100,000 contract, right? It came to the board itself. Right? And it was my wife, my good wife, who owns a business, right? But it came, she's decent, and she came and said, man, I, as a Bahamian citizen, I have the company. Just because you are the chairman, you can exclude yourself.
See, listen,
Does he have a duty care? See, I want to know if it's bad.
I used to be a superhero, right? And then I heard this asteroid was coming to Earth. And so I called CARICOM and I said, hey, I just came back from a training program, and I'm good with asteroids, right? And they called me back, and they said, no, we got Superman on the job. We're gonna rely on him, Aaron. We know you've been, we sent you off to the training course, but we're gonna rely on Superman to stop the asteroid. I would be upset for about 7 minutes, only 7 minutes, and then I would be okay with the decision to give it to somebody who's possibly better qualified than me, even if Superman is the Prime Minister's brother. I don't care. But why? Because it's an asteroid.
I understand. But let me ask you this. Same situation.
Yeah.
What if I hired you to destroy the asteroid, right?
Yeah.
Or do a water and sewage contract. What if I hired you to destroy the asteroid? I paid you in advance. The full thing. That's the contract, right?
Yeah.
Destroy the asteroid. But Superman came because he is destroy asteroids, right? Right?
I mean, just like for breakfast, yeah.
Yes. And I cancel your contract for construction. Do you give me back the money?
It depends on how much I already spend directly on asteroid prevention.
I don't salaries
activities.
And insurance. I had to get insurance. And do I pay now Superman again? Because I didn't pay you to do it. So I pay twice?
I can be honest with you, if I were a Bahamian citizen, I'd look at my prime minister and I'd say, Prime Minister, I mean, you didn't even try to call Superman first. Did you try to call Superman before you gave Aaron the contract?
But you gone to school to do it?
Yeah, but I gone to the UE BTVI course.
We have a caller there. I'm scared to answer the call because, you know, we can't talk with certain
things. But I can just say, caller, this is a very delicate conversation.
Yeah.
And my finger is on the mute button. And although we are being a bit irreverent today, we're trying very hard to stay within the lines allotted. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Cecil.
Blessings to you, inshallah.
Cecil.
Inshallah. Blessings to you.
Cecil.
Go ahead. I hear you.
Okay, sorry.
I
trying to figure out what that is Ms. Green read just now when she say, or that's you read it say.
No, go
ahead. The person say they don't frown against nepotism. That's what
That's a quote by the chairman of the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Yes, yes.
I'll have a read again for you.
What do you mean when he said that?
We don't know
I
what
want
he meaning.
Ask you something, but what do you mean when he said that?
Papa, we don't know what he meaning.
For real?
That is the answer for today.
So what is nepotism?
That's when you bring in family members over other people.
So when you don't frown, you don't have a problem, eh? If your family members are qualified and made
the best bid, you have no problem with it. But I think
I don't
nepotism,
like, hold on, Papa,
you like that either?
I don't know. I just don't want to rely on Yuri's definition. I don't think we should rely on any of our
you
own
going to it up?
Understanding.
You going to Google it?
Yeah, I done Google it all.
Well, let's do it generally speaking,
nepotism,
right? I believe, like, in this small country, even if this was in a small country, right?
Yes.
And I know sometimes you got to be careful with the politics part and how, when it comes down to politics, how we deal with things. Them. And, boy, I ain't holding no water for no PLP, and I ain't trying to save no one or nothing.
Yeah.
But when I hear that story, I say, but what about if the lady qualified to do the job?
Did she qualify? She deserved to get it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I don't care if she's PLP or FNM. You can imagine if she don't even support the party with her dad. She's a behemoth.
I got you, Papa.
And that sounds like that's just $1,200 a month.
No,
I mean,
Papa, let's not get into numbers.
Just, it sounds like it's just approximately $1,200
Papa, we only read.
Thank you very much, Carl.
Yeah, man, we only reading from the
I don't want to analyze it too much, but I appreciate what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's why I said I don't know why the contract was terminated, and is there compensation?
Because, no, it's because in the West, the suggestion by the PM, right? Like what he did, his personal experience back then, and what he dictated to, what he ordered, instructed, whatever language you want to use, it speaks to the fundamental tenets of the Westminster system, right?
In the Westminster system, once you declare that, yes, my family members is in politics, but I'm bidden for it, you can be considered.
So pause. Here's a question. When and where are those types of declarations made, right? Is that a part of the declaration and public disclosure process that we so eagerly await to be gazetted, right? Is that a part of that? When exactly does a declaration of that, when exactly is a declaration of that nature made?
I give you an example. The Honorable Brent Simonet has an array of businesses. So many businesses that is managed by himself, or separate from him, separate and apart from him. He just invests in everything. 10% share, 20% share, 40% share, maybe even majority owner.
So he's not a direct owner. He's not a he's not a part of the direct management.
No, he's not a part of the direct
company.
Management.
He's just an investor.
There was one time that one of his businesses, what he had with 20% share, make a bid and got the contract, mm-hmm. right? And of course, he was critiqued for it. Say, hey, that's your business. And he said, man, I own that too. Right? He said, you know how many things I own.
Yeah, but
right?
See, so, even he has a duty of care, right? He mm-hmm. is remiss in that instance. So he's telling me, see, that's offensive to me. Oh, I got so much business.
But he didn't know. But see, he was not the managing.
That's not the point.
Wasn't aware that even they bid.
That's the point.
So he found out when they brought it.
But that's the point. As an investor, mm-hmm. you have that duty of care. Mm-hmm. As a politician, there's an extra layer of the duty of care. As mm-hmm. an investor, you need to know what the businesses you invest in are engaged in. Mm. And as a politician, you need to be aware of all of these things. There's no resting on, I'm so busy, I didn't know. But it's slightly offensive to say, I have so much business, I don't even know where I'm making money in this
so
town.
Much business. We have another caller here. Let's pass that caller through and listen and guidedly what they're saying. Go ahead, caller.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. Blessings to you.
Yeah, I think we need to expand that question, especially on Aaron's premise of a politician having a duty of care.
Mm-hmm.
And that question should be, is there such a thing as political nepotism in the Bahamas? Now, that's a question that, you know, we can speak freely on and think our feet into.
Absolutely. I mean, so we're talking about like legacy families in politics?
No. You're just talking about political nepotism.
Okay.
Okay. Like, there's no families involved, you know, but as long as you are part of a political
organization,
right?
You should expect the benefits to flow from within?
Yeah, sure. But see, but I'm speaking, to the place where, say, a person who only has, say, like BJCs or GCs, right,
mm-hmm.
is in charge of persons who have master's degrees and bachelor's degrees.
Oh, that's something slightly different than nepotism, but I appreciate what you're
saying. But in the framework of political nepotism, that is what we are dealing with, you know, persons who, in many cases, are elevated beyond their competence.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the only reason they have their job is because of the party they support.
I got you. Thank you very much.
And I appreciate the caller, and I understand it, and I will expand it to that, right? But again, I too like petty. I have no problem with nepotism. I can be petty at times. Because if the person is qualified, that is, sometimes you need to hire people you trust.
I'm going to reinforce this after the break. We get a lot of texts. The basic tenet of the Westminster system is that you avoid missteps and skullduggery.
I say, once you declare,
acting when you are aware that there's a potential for something to arise,
or
to even be viewed
as. Our prime minister said that he's going to investigate that same point. At when did the person became aware, and if there is a problem?
He said that. I didn't read that.
Yeah, you said there's going to be further investigation.
Okay, there you go.
Whatever that means.
Okay.
I just interpret what that means.
I got you.
Anyway, we're going to take a short break. This is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We are reading the headlines today and analyzing the duty of care that politicians have toward Bahamian people. And if they renege on that duty of care, should we cry out? We'll be right back.
Holiday season is upon us. And everyone's going to be looking for those special items on their gift list. Merchants, here's your opportunity to have your products placed in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. This year, shoppers are going to be searching for perfect presents at the right price. Anything from a family island weekend getaway to electronics, jewelry, and even clothes. For one low price, you can have your ads published twice this December in the Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Deadline for registration is Wednesday, November 30th. Be sure to contact your Nassau Guardian sales agent or call the Nassau Guardian directly at 302-2300. Be sure to ask about our 15-30-second Christmas radio commercial bonanza.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
The Nassau Guardian's Holiday Gift Guide. Our gift to you. Because Christmas...
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We are analyzing the headlines today, and the theme of the day is government's responsibility, duty of care to the Bahamian people, and whether at times they fell short. And if they do fall short, should we complain? Should we be concerned, right? But I have a text here say, if a family member is qualified and if the correct procedure was followed, transparency, disclosure, and competitive bidding, then there shouldn't be an issue. And I believe that. Right. The question was whether, again, the daughter followed the protocols, and I think she did because there's no bidding. Why cancel it though?
Because it has nothing to do with justice. Must not just be done; it must be seen to be done. Right? Like in the Westminster system, if it opens up the door to critique, then you shut the door by doing the honorable thing.
Then I ask you this. If there's already paid for in full the contract, right? Should we say, man, you need to finish this and you won't get no more? Or do we find someone, hire another set of people and we lose that money?
That's a considerable determination. I say you remove the offending political element.
So pay twice?
No.
You want to say pay twice?
No, I certainly never said that.
We rich, though.
No, we're not.
You're not rich?
No.
I say suspend the contract and find someone else to give it to and pay them again.
No, I see in this particular instance, I think it's easier to replace the political figurehead than it is to replace the technocrat. So in that instance, what I'm saying is if the value of the technical expertise, right, is such that you can't replace it in another expert, then get rid of the political figurehead to remove the appearance of dishonor.
Can't make it seem that they're after them winning. Let's go to the cold phone line. They can make it all kind of recourse that. No.
It's a shame that nobody's ever concerned with whether the Bahamian people are actually winning.
And this conversation is about the Bahamian people. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, who's there, Nuri?
Doing well, man. Blessings to you.
All is well. Morning, here.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hey, listen, Nuri.
Go ahead.
I want to find out from both of you all. Did they said who the contract? Who granted out a contract, whether it was the government or what in so much?
It didn't go to the board, because it was a small contract.
Okay, so that means if it didn't go to the board, that means that's a what in so much contract?
I guess so. We go there for now.
Because it had to be a water and sewage contract.
Yeah.
It wasn't a government contract.
Yes. Okay.
Right. Yeah, sir, just pause for a second. If you're reading from today's Tribune, I can just read the first words of the article. It says, Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis suggested that the Water and Sewerage Corporation contract Sylvanus Petty's daughter received. So I'm just indicating that it appears as if it's a water and sewerage contract.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the reason why I asked that question, right? Now, he said that the reason that didn't came to him because that didn't come to the board because that it was under $100,000.
Yeah, whatever the money is.
It was like a petty contract, mm-hmm. right? And that's why he wasn't aware of it. And if that's how the system were concerned and how they do things by water and sewage, my thing is, even though what he said in court, it's like he really didn't know his daughter had that contract.
He didn't know.
Okay.
That's how it seemed, what he said in court.
Yes.
Pause.
So I really
go on.
Understand what Mr. Davis, what the Prime Minister said. The Prime Minister, the reason why I think the Prime Minister want to really help him in that situation is because of the opposition.
Okay, pause.
See?
Okay,
I mean,
thanks for much.
I mean, whatever they do, I think Runiri, she can get conservated if they cancel the contract. If they cancel it, yeah, they can give her back her money.
We shall wait and see.
It'll all be according to the terms of the contract, right?
Yeah. There may not be no need to compensate.
But the point is, right, that the decision to cancel is not based on a determination of guilt. It's not based on a determination of malfeasance. It's not based on any of those things. It's based on a fundamental Westminster system principle that you avoid the appearance. You don't let it even evolve into. You nip it in the bud and you do the honorable thing, right? Which is to say, I'm now aware, we do away with it.
And I'm saying that there's no need if the person declared that they are family, but I am a Bahamian citizen bidden towards it.
Pause.
It allows it.
The Westminster system.
Allows that.
No, it doesn't.
It does.
No, it doesn't. The bastardization of the Westminster system that you've seen evolve in the Bahamas, right, has allowed it. That is something totally different.
You're saying that in the United Kingdom, we can use the United Kingdom, if... What did the Indian descent gentleman name? I forget.
Sunak?
Yes.
The Prime Minister?
You know his business and all of those pharmaceuticals and computer thing, right? You're trying to say that one of those companies that he's affiliated with and the government needs a contract, right? Because they're the most proficient or cost-effective one. You're trying to say he can't get it?
Yeah.
He'll get it.
No,
once
he
declare that, I have interest in that.
Yeah.
And the government will decide where there's the best interest of the country.
This is a problem. This is a problem. You can't demand that we call you honorable people if you refuse to do the honorable thing. And the system...
allows you to declare.
That gives, right, the system that pins the honor or you demands something different. That's all.
The issue is whether he declare.
No. This is it. The issue is that y'all prioritize money over principles.
Efficiency.
I would like to put forth an analysis, but I'm not sure whether it treads on the thin line we walk in, right? There should be no situation. It should never arise that the mechanisms within the corporation responsible for making these decisions are unaware of the connections. That's all I can say.
And I heard the last
one. Prioritizing money over principle. And just say that. Stop demanding we call you all honorable people.
Okay, we have 3 minutes. I want you to quickly read this article in Grand Bahama, this naming of the building.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. So in today's Tribune, government building in West Grand Bahama named in honor of Obi Wilchcombe. That's the headline. Prime Minister Philip Brave Davis called Obi Wilchcombe a great Bahamian as he opened an administrator's complex named in his honor. The Obadiah H. Wilchcombe Administrator's Complex was officially opened in 8 Mile Rock, a project for which Mr. Wilchcombe had strongly advocated in West Grand Bahama. Ground was first broken in December 2016 under the Christie administration and was expected to be completed in 3 years. However, when the PLP lost the election in 2017, there were delays in the construction. 7 years later, the project is finally completed, said Mr. Davis. Today, we commemorate his contributions as a nation builder as we name this administration complex in his honor, he said. 7 years ago, it was a public-private partnership that set this very same complex in motion. I was present at the initial groundbreaking, and so was then Minister of Tourism Obadiah Wilchcombe. In his remarks, Obi recalled the frustrating but ultimately fruitful fight for the inclusion of all Bahamians in the economy of Freeport, regardless of class or color. The complex will house the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the Magistrates Court, Labor and the Public Service, Social Services, Post Office, Immigration, Road Traffic, Administrator's Office, West Grand Bahama District Council, Parliamentary Registration, Agriculture and Marine Resources, including BAIC, the Registrar General, and a library. But guess what? Nobody said hurricane shelter.
Hurricane shelters aren't important, Aaron. I want to read this before we go,
Aaron.
This is from the Acklands Development and Trade Association because they have to postpone their events due to the campaigning going on in Grand Bahama and their patron person is not available. Say, we wish to inform you that the date for the ball has been pushed back to November 25th, 2023. Everything else remains the same. The change in date came about because our patron, Prime Minister Davis, along with a few other honorees, are caught up in the by-election campaign and would be spending the final Saturday before the by-election, which is November 18th in Grand Bahama and Bimini. We sincerely apologize for the inconvenience. And that's the Acklands Trade Association. And they're supposed to be doing a big banquet and honoring thing on November 18th. It's now November 25th.
We'll make them live in West Grand Bahama and Bimini.
Can you imagine? Anyway, that's been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. Thank you very much, Aaron Green, for staying back. Have a wonderful day. Tomorrow is Mashup Wednesday.
Yeah.
Have a wonderful day.